Well, hey there, driven woman entrepreneur. I hope you're here to celebrate and party, because that's exactly what we're going to do. This is episode 200, a major podcasting milestone that many people never reach. One of the reasons I've been able to maintain the show for 200 episodes is the amazing guests that I've been able to host, become friends with, and really get to know over the last 3 years. I reached out to a couple handfuls of my very favorite people, sales experts, marketing experts, coaches, consultants, authors, speakers, some of the most bold, brilliant, and badass female solopreneurs I know. I put several questions to them, and you're about to hear what they have to say. Questions like, if you could start all over, what would you do differently? What personal trait, habit, or mindset do you attribute your success to? And how has having your own business helped you grow? Let me just tell you, listening to this one episode is going to be like having a dozen experts in your ear holes. You're welcome. But it's also, even more than that, an opportunity for me to hang out with some of my very, very favorite people and to give you a second listen to their brilliance. I will link to their original episode with me in the show notes. I invite you to go back and listen to each and every one of them because they're pure podcast gold. So, you ready to party? Let's do it. So when I asked my favorite podcast guests this question, what mindset, behavior trait, or habit is most responsible for your success? I got some really good answers. Here's a few of them.
Hello, I'm Alicia Barr, the founder of the Black Sheep Sales Method, because if it's a fit, it's a fact, and there's no selling involved. And I would say the thing that has helped me the most in my business is figuring out how to take any information as data to use to improve instead of a personal judgment or indicator of my success or failure. So essentially mindset and actually using my experiences to propel me forward, whether they were success or failures. Highly recommend. It's all just data, guys.
This is Andrea Jones of the Savvy Social Podcast, and I want to talk about some of the mindset shifts that have really changed over the years as I've grown my business. I'm celebrating 10 years in business, and oftentimes when I approach a new challenge or opportunity, my tendency is to learn as much as I can. And while having mentors and guidance and educational resources have been very helpful for me over the years, one of the mindset shifts that I've chosen to participate in is really believing what I know to be true as well. So learning something tactically or strategically can, you know, go into my mental vault, and I can definitely leverage that in the future. However, if I take an action that doesn't sit right with me and I know it's not true for me in my business, it usually doesn't work out for me. There have been numerous examples of this over the years, but one of the things that comes to mind is this concept of social media posting and social media boundaries. So a lot of experts in my space in social media talk about how frequently you should post and how to best beat the algorithms. But one of the things that I've known to be true about myself and my clients is that even meeting those minimum amounts that they're saying can cause a huge drain on you as a business owner. Oftentimes we don't need that much content. And most importantly, even if we try to keep up with that level of content production, it can be very, very challenging to install not only our marketing efforts on social media, but in other platforms and even move forward growth and momentum in other areas of our business. So what I know to be true for myself and the mindset shifts I've had to make for myself is despite the fact that I work in social media, I have very strong boundaries about when I check in, how frequently I post, what sorts of notifications I allow to come through my mobile device, which is the antithesis of what a lot of social media managers, strategists, educators share out there in the world. I've let that shift bleed into other areas of my business as well. Things like who I should hire and when, how I should scale, what I should price my offers at. All of those things can be helpful to have educational resources, but I've learned over the years if I lean into what I know to be true, then the result is something that I feel much more comfortable implementing and delivering in my business.
Hi, this is Annie P. Ruggles from the Non-Sleazy Sales Academy and Too Legitimate to Quit, the podcast. And if I had to pick just one mindset, skill, or trait of mine that I think has helped me be the most successful, it would definitely be something I did not do at all at the beginning of my business, which is practice self-forgiveness. Because not only is it hard to tell sometimes what's your fault, what's not your fault, what's the industry or timing or any of it, you're gonna go in assuming a whole lot of stuff is your fault. And you're gonna go in, even though you think you're great enough to start a small business, biased against yourself, right? Like, oh, I can't believe I did that, right? It's so easy to dog ourselves and so hard to mark our celebrations. And so by practicing self-forgiveness, not only have I reduced my stress level, I've upped my tenacity, endurance, my self-trust. I honor my strategic thoughts now more. I recover from things so much faster when I can just forgive, reset, and get right back to it. I wouldn't ever be able to see the lessons in failure if I wasn't first making sure that I forgive myself and get right back to work.
This is Bev Feldman from Your Personal Tech Fairy. And if I were to choose one habit that is most responsible for my success, it would probably not surprisingly have to do with my own newsletter. And in particular, creating a weekly writing routine that I genuinely look forward to. So every Friday morning, I go to a particular cafe and I write my newsletter for the next week. Sometimes I go in with a really clear idea of what that's going to be, and sometimes I don't know until I sit down and actually write it. And what's been pretty magical about this is a few things. One, I have come to just really look forward to and enjoy the process. I find I get a lot of ideas. It really gets my creativity flowing. And I look for exciting ways to engage with my email community. It's also really helped me to hone in on my messaging and what sets the work I do as a ConvertKit consultant apart from everyone else out there who also supports other business owners with ConvertKit. And I look at it now, instead of this kind of slog as this thing I have to do, as it's a creative outlet and it's also an experiment. Like every week when I write my newsletter, I approach things differently. Some weeks it's purely just to give a resource. Sometimes it's to share an idea I have about email marketing. And sometimes it's purely a sales tool. And I'd say that this whole process of writing it has actually helped me really understand my own process that much more. So I'm really thankful for it. And I'll add that just creating this new habit, I've seen my own engagement with my email increase, more people opening my emails and clicking on and responding to them, which gets me that much more excited to write it, and getting more people, you know, to turn into paying customers over time from being on my newsletter, because I have found my voice, they understand me and my approach to email marketing. So that is it. That is my habit that I'm attribute most of my success to with my business, and I look forward to continuing to show up for my community inside of my newsletter.
I am Claudia Schalux from Bridge to More Business. The trait that is most responsible for my success is a deep understanding of cultural diversity, business customs, and practices across borders, especially throughout Latin America, the USA, and Europe. This has allowed me to work with international clients and also help them enter new marketings, shortening their learning curve.
Happy 200th, Diane. This is so cool. I am so honored to be a part of this.
This is Elise Enriquez of the Productivity Shift Podcast. And when it comes to what mindset, trait, or habit that's most responsible for my success, I think it is a willingness to just experiment and try. I definitely have a mindset of experimentation of, I think this might work. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to see how it goes. And when I go in with that mindset, it helps minimize my fear of failure. It helps take that kind of off the table. I know that I'm just seeing what might happen and I'm kind of going for it. So that's the mindset that's helped me the most.
Hi, this is Erin Alilla, host of the Talk Copy to Me podcast. Running a business has helped me grow in so many ways, but where I think I've seen the most change or the most benefit of running a business is that I was able to recognize that I was a perfectionist after I started running my business. And I am not cured yet, but I am able to recognize when my perfectionist tendencies come out. And I have the skills now to, one, recognize it, and two, put in some of the work that I've done on myself to try to not overwhelm myself or try to move past these perfectionist tendencies. I think before I started running my business, I thought that a perfectionist was someone who did everything right. Like, it had to be perfect, the end result. And that is not me by far. Like, I've many times in my life, I'm totally fine with like a B plus effort on things. But what I realized is that for me personally, perfectionism was that I was too worried or too anxious about the outcome because I cared so much that I wanted to get things to be quote unquote perfect, right? So it's not so much for me personally that a perfectionist is someone who has a perfect outcome. For me, what running a business taught me was the ways that I held myself back in business was often because I was so worried about wanting the outcomes to be perfect or wanting the effort to be perfect. And I think once I was able to recognize that in myself, I not only benefited in business because I was able to kind of retrain my mind and my attitude and my mindset on things, but it helped me in my personal life too, because if you're a perfectionist like me, you know that it comes to play in so many different ways in your life. So running a business has definitely helped me spotlight that's an issue that I have and develop ways to kind of work through it, work past it, and try to improve, even though I'm still completely a work in progress.
I am Nicole Khalil, and I'm the host of the This Is Woman's Work podcast. Diane asked me to be part of this celebration of the Driven Woman Entrepreneur podcast, which was a very easy yes for me because A, I adore Diane and would say yes to just about anything she asked of me, and B, because 200 episodes is a massively cool achievement. So I'm here to share what I believe are the biggest contributors to my success. And I need to start by saying that we are all responsible for how we define success, and it's all relative. There are people who make way more money than I do, or who have a bigger podcast, who look better, who have the patience of a saint, or who balance their time better than I do, all the things. So the first thing for me was defining what success meant, what it feels like and looks like for me. And as I work to continue to build my own success, it'll come to no surprise to anybody that knows me that confidence is the trait or the mindset or the choice that has played the biggest role in creating success. I define confidence as firm and bold trust in self.
Hi there, I'm Shulamit Bear-Levtov and I'm the entrepreneur's therapist. The trait most responsible for my success is persistence. I have learned through my life experience that just keeping one foot in front of the other serves me really well. At first, it was not a very considered thing. It was just what I did. But when I became self-employed and started working in the business, then I realized that this characteristic of mine was the thing that was going to help me succeed, is just to keep going, to persist.
I've heard it said that being an entrepreneur is the ultimate personal growth path, and that may very well be true. When I asked the question, how has having your own business helped you grow, to these past guests, you want to hear what they had to say? Have a listen.
The second question was, how has being a business owner helped you grow? Well, I think you have to be incredibly resilient to be a business owner because there's a lot of moving parts and it's a lot easier to just say, never mind, I'll just like not have to deal with any of this stuff and work for somebody else. But as you own a business, if you're really, you know, especially an online one, you have to understand what behaviors are driving you and why certain patterns are showing up in your life so that you can change those and get a different result. So like on a really basic level, let's say you know that you want to work out logically, but for some reason you can't move yourself to, there's some underlying beliefs or patterns or something that are stopping you from doing the thing that you want to do. And it's not something that you can really consciously call upon or else you already would have. So diving really deep into understanding myself and kind of like hacking myself, and every individual is different, has made a massive difference in my personal life as well as my professional life. And I would have never done that if I hadn't been faced with these challenges as a business owner.
And how has being a business owner helped me grow? Well, the biggest way that has helped me grow is in just some humility about what works and what doesn't. It's helped me be brave. It's helped me help other people and see that we all have an impact and that we all matter. And I just love being a business owner.
Hi, this is Erin Olilla, host of the Talk Copy to Me podcast. If I can think of one thing that has helped me be as successful as I have been in business, it is that I try as hard as I can to be both approachable and generous. Generous with my time, generous with my knowledge, generous with how I treat my clients or my leads or even just my podcast listeners. I really come from the belief that nothing really needs to be hidden. No strategy needs to be behind closed doors. That if a lead came to me and they wanted to learn from me so they could do it themselves, more power to them, right? Like what we need in the world is people who are confident in their marketing and their messaging. And if I can help them by providing the right education or strategies or just being generous with my time and my knowledge, then I've done something good, right? And then for the people who do pay me to work with them, of course I want to be generous because I value that they trust me with their work and I value that the relationship that I'm building with them. So I think just being generous and realizing that, you know, while I've been in business for so long and I have a ton of experience in my craft even prior to starting my own business, that doesn't put me above anyone. That doesn't, there's no scale of expertise, and that there's no distance when it came to expertise, that we're really all kind of just in this together. And if I can help, I'm going to. And I think that the people that I work with and the people who are my friends and colleagues can recognize that, you know, this comes from the heart. And I think that's why people will refer people to me and my clients will keep coming back to work with me. So if you're looking for any advice, think about how you can be more generous with your skills and your time and your expertise, and it will go a long way.
This is Jessica Lackey of Jessica Lackey Consulting. And how being a business owner has helped me grow is that I'm no longer doing things in my zone of competence, in my zone of excellence, to make other people more money. I'm stepping into my truest identity as a distiller of frameworks and a teacher that spans business silos. And I'm crafting that professional identity based on what lights me up and who I am inside, and making money along the way. But I'm doing it in service of that next chapter of my life.
How that shows up in my success is in a willingness to take risk, to be open to testing new and different things, walking toward things that feel true and right and authentic to me, and walking away from things that don't. It's meant stepping toward what matters most, no matter how afraid I feel or how many doubts I may have. It's doing things before I feel ready. It's choosing confidence until the feeling catches up. Ultimately, I trust that I'll be okay, no matter what. I don't need everybody to like me. I know not everybody will appreciate or find value in my work. I'm willing to get a little messy to try and test new things. I've failed more often than most in private and in public ways. And when I get knocked down, I pick myself up, dust myself off, and get back into action toward what matters most, because I fundamentally believe that I will be okay no matter what. And if I'm not okay in moments or at times or in stages, I believe that the only thing that's missing is hindsight. I trust that there will come a time where I understand what purpose that challenge served, because I've recovered from 100% of the tough patches so far. So that seems like really great odds to me. Confidence has made all the difference. And that's not to say that I feel confident 100% of the time. Nobody does. Well, except maybe narcissists. But I practice choosing confidence, and that has never let me down so far.
Being a business owner has helped me grow in so many ways. It has really brought me face to face with myself and some of the qualities or ways of thinking that had evolved in my life over time that I was unaware of, and becoming aware of them made it possible for me to change them. And, you know, if I hadn't had a business, you know, because personal growth comes up in context. And so my business was just the context in which I confronted these things and was able to grow.
So we all know that hindsight is 20/20, and that we can all see better in our rearview mirror than in our windshield at times. But there's nothing like having your own business to introduce you to risk tolerance and learning how to dance with failure. When I asked our guests, if you could start all over, if you could turn back the clock, what, if anything, would you do differently in your entrepreneurial journey? You're not going to believe what they told me. Let's listen.
And then the last question, if you could start all over, what, if anything, would you do differently? I don't know if you can see a theme here, but I would work on my mindset, because that's the main thing that stops you from success. You make up these stories of worst case scenarios or future worst case scenarios or worst case interpretations of what has happened to you. And you just stop yourself based on, like, basically conspiracy theories all the time. So your self-doubt will ruin you, and you have to find a way to master that and move on and look at it, like I said, like information that's going to help you, and look at it without judgment. And if I had known that from the beginning, I would be a lot farther along right now.
Hey, it's Annie P. Ruggles from the Non-Sleazy Sales Academy. And not shockingly, if I could start my business all over tomorrow, I don't think I would want to. I've been doing this for like 13 years, so it's a long reset. But let's just say I did. If I was going to, what I would do differently is change my relationship with money and my relationship with the art of selling going in. I had such deeply entrenched what I call sales avoidance. I thought sales was for the sleazy. I thought it would corrupt the relationships I had. And my biggest fear was that other people would think I was taking advantage of them. And so I let them take advantage of me, even if they didn't want to. How? Through over-delivering, through undercharging, and through negotiating myself out of sales that should have been mine. So yeah, I would have cleaned up my sales avoidance, I would have honored the art of receiving, and I probably would have made a whole lot more money. But better late than never. I'm so glad I have my head on straight now.
If I could start all over again, I would make sure I had a bigger financial buffer, because being short on cash did influence many of my decisions, and not in a good way. Secondly, I would follow my gut instead of the gurus. That would have saved me time and resources, and I would have had a more authentic message much earlier.
And then the last one is, if you could start all over, what, if anything, would you do differently? I want to say nothing, right? I want to be like, no regrets. And I pretty much live my life that way. I'm where I'm at because of the choices I've made, whether they felt good or bad at the time or even now. And I would say that what I wish I would have started sooner was being part of a community of entrepreneurs and other fellow business owners, especially women business owners who are service providers. I've had the individual support of coaches and consultants, therapists, all the things along the way. And that's helpful to have that one-on-one support. But to show up in a group or a community and to really show up and let myself be helped by that community and not just be a helper in a community has been transformational for me, and I wish I would have started that sooner.
This is Erin Olilla, host of the Talk Copy to Me podcast. If I could start my business all over again, what would I do differently? That's a great question. Part of me wants to answer that I wouldn't do anything differently, because in truth, of the past 8 years of running a business, what I have learned is that I have grown and my business has been shaped by trial and error. I started my business as a creative, not as an entrepreneur, meaning I never went to business school. I had no clue what I was doing when it came to running a business, but I did know my craft. And I think I found my footing through the trial and error, and I'm still finding my footing through the trial and error. And I say that because so many things shift in business, and I think it's kind of a lie that we're told that, you know, like if you set this great foundation, you're going to be very successful and you can just keep working off the foundation you start. But I think good businesses are able to evolve, and I think we've seen that all so much in the past handful of years through the pandemic and how that changed businesses in general. But I promise I'm going to answer, because I said that I would not change things mostly. However, to give a more precise answer, what I would change is I would have paid a lot less attention to the online business coaching world. And I would have been a lot more focused on what I was doing in my lane. I spent an immense amount of time trying to learn everything I could, probably because of the fear of not knowing how to do things, because I didn't go to business school, and I wasn't quite sure that I was doing things correctly. So I overcompensated by trying to learn as much as I could. And 8 years in, I can tell you, I learned so many things that I did not need to know. And a lot of it was just proactive procrastination. So I would be a bit more focused on my own business and more confident in knowing that I would figure it out over time.
Hey everyone, it's Dr. Michelle Mazur from the Make Marketing Suck Less podcast. And first, I wanted to congratulate Diane on her 200th episode. This is such a huge milestone in your podcasting journey. So congratulations to you. And then I wanted to answer the question, what would I do differently if I was starting my business from scratch today? And I would focus on doing things in the right order instead of doing things that sound sexy. A lot of times in business, we are marketed the sexy things to do in our business. So having a beautiful website, pitching yourself for podcasts, getting yourself some PR, growing your email list. And the unfortunate news is most of those things, when you're just starting out, they're a distraction. They are a waste of your time, energy, and money. Because as I've been in business for 13 years now, I realize there is an order to how you have to build your business. And it doesn't start with the sexy marketing stuff. The first phase of building a business is really about figuring out what your offer is and learning how to sell it and generating revenue. Your business exists to generate revenue. So we have to do those pieces first, and then we can move on to unsexy stage two, which is figuring out how to talk about our product and service, understanding what problem it solves, how it's different in the marketplace, and the messaging that helps people get ready for your work. So it's easy for them to raise their hand and say yes to your offer. Then once you have those two unsexy phases, then you can move on to the marketing phase and do those things like podcast interviews or a TEDx talk, because now you know what you're selling and how to get people ready for that offer. So that is what I would do differently. I would realize that there was an order to things, and I would do the unsexy stuff first.
If I could go back and do it all over again, would I do it differently? Well, if I could take all of my hindsight and all of my learnings and experiences back to the beginning, it wouldn't really be the beginning, right? I guess I'd tell myself not to invest so much of my time and money on things I thought I was supposed to because it's what everybody else was doing. I'd redirect all that energy I spent on social media or doing an online course or releasing my book in the way that I did. And I'd refocus it on the work that's more authentic to me and that creates more value for the people that I serve. But I needed to do all that stuff to figure it out. Sometimes we learn about what is meant for us by doing things that aren't meant for us. I find that figuring out what I don't want often gets me closer to what I do want. So I don't think I do it differently, but there are definitely things that I've done that weren't successful in the traditional way. So my advice, I guess, is you gotta keep showing up. And Diana's a great example of that. She's shown up at least 200 times for her listeners, her guests, and for herself to bring us all this show that has made a huge impact in the lives of so many. So congratulations, my friend. Happy 200 episodes.
And if I could start all over, what would I do differently? I'm not sure that I would do anything differently except maybe start earlier. I became fully self-employed only later in my 50s, and I wish that I had had the clarity to be able to do this much earlier in my life.
So thank you for coming to my episode 200 party. The guests and I really appreciate you spending your time with us today, and I hope that you got everything that you came for. The collective wisdom of this group of women is just mwah, chef's kiss. Would you do something for me now? If you haven't rated or reviewed this podcast, would you do so as a gift to me for reaching episode 200? I would so appreciate it. This is the perfect time. And if you've already rated and reviewed the podcast, thank you. And now tell one person about the show. If each of you tells just one person, the number of female solopreneurs who have access to this show is doubled. It's so easy. I'm going to link in the show notes. Just share that link with a biz bestie. You know the one. Thanks for coming to the party, and we will see you next week. Here's to another 200 episodes.